Hello, and welcome to Museum Meetup, where we explore the Western Slope's scientific and cultural past. We are your hosts, Kaya Michaelis and Libby Early, from the Museums of Western Colorado. Our guest today is recently retired curator of history, David Bailey, who will be telling us about the history of the trails on the Grand Mesa.
Yes, I have a new book coming out. It's called Trails, Trains, and Early Transports. And we'll, in conjunction with the museum, we're going to put it out this fall. But it's actually that idea that you're going down like 6 and 50, going toward, coming up in the Grand Valley, going to Grand Mesa, and you're on a highway, but originally it was the Spanish Trail, and before that the Ute Trail. So there's all these amazing roads and little country roads that were actually very important in the early days, like the trappers and this, the early Spanish explorations.
So why were the, what was the Ute Trail? Why were the Utes traveling through the area, or did they live up on the Grand Mesa for periods of time?
Actually, the Ute territories, there were 11 bands of Utes. It occupied 225,000 square miles. So they had a comprehensive trails that went to the mountains and then to the valleys. And they would actually travel with the season. So on, they'd go to Grand Mesa during the summer and then winter down in the lower valleys, usually always near a water source. So I've been tracking all these trails. And luckily, right after the Ute Reservation was open, they had done an actual map of it, of all the trail systems. So I still had that to go by, where all the trails are.
That's fascinating, Dave. How did you come to find that map? Is it in the collection of the museum?
It is. The museum has an amazing collection of maps and, you know, 20,000 photographs and then early records and documents that you really can't find anywhere else, the Lloyd Files Research Library. So it's been a great resource. I did a book last year, Historic Mysteries of Western Colorado, and it was really popular and came out in hardback. So we're doing the same thing this next fall with the early trails, trains, and electric transports. And the electric transport part is, people don't know this, but the first popular car here was electric, and it could go 100 miles on a battery. And they were made in Denver, and what stopped them was the gasoline engine developed electric starters, so they quit using electric cars. But actually, electric cars were in vogue back in 1903.
You are listening to Museum Meetup with our guest David Bailey, and we are talking about the history of the Ute Trail. Tell us, Dave, what got you interested in this topic of transportation?
Well, you know, I've been reading like for years, like there'd be little tidbits, like, you know, there was little signs and, you know, little papers talking about the early Indians and their travois. So there's two long poles on each side of a horse, and they put their pack on the back. But then I was reading like really early stuff, like 1560s, and they had dogs with little poles and little packs. And some of the Utes had up to 500 dogs with little packs on that they would travel around. And I just started reading like all these really unknown facts, because just the idea of transportation, how is that interesting? But what I'm digging is way deep into really fascinating stories and stuff, more vignettes of traveling and the adventure of traveling in early Colorado.
That's such a powerful image in my mind about having, you know, a band of humans traveling with up to 500 dogs and having packs on their back. I can't get my dog to carry anything for me. So it's pretty amazing thinking about them traveling and using dogs to transport their stuff. So what, after, you know, the Utes established a network of trail systems on the Grand Mesa, who used the trails up there next?
Well, you know, after that, after the Utes had really established the trail system, they were actually kept being moved onto reservations in smaller areas.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
obviously the trappers and the fur traders, you know, they married into the Ute bands. And so they learned all those trails and later became guides for the settlers that moved out west. And then
Okay. The
early train, they were actually mapping routes for trains. So it was kind of all that information was passed on through the Utes, a lot of times, you know, intermarriage with the mountain men and the trappers. So.
And then the next iteration was it becoming part of the Spanish Trail?
Right. We became the northern branch of the Spanish Trail. So mm-hmm. they would, you know, they had the Spanish Trail that went to California, but this actually came up towards the Green River and up to Salt Lake. And because they could trap up on the green. And so they actually went right from like Delta to Grand Junction, 6 and 50. That was part of the northern branch of the Spanish Trail.
And the Spanish Trail was supposed to connect Santa Fe to the West Coast for trade routes?
Yeah, and this is just one of those branches that went off because they would come up from New Mexico and go through the San Luis Valley and up over Cocheteau Pass and then travel up into, because there are a lot of good trapping areas here too, including, you know, for a while on Grand Mesa, there were a lot of beaver. But they would try to spread out because there were so many people trapping. There were British, Spanish, Anglos, and so they'd try to encompass new and bigger areas. So that's how these branches started.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question, but I want to make sure our listeners know that they're listening to Museum Meetup with our guest, Dave Bailey, and we're talking about the history of the trails on the Grand Mesa and the Ute Trails. So how long was the Spanish Trail in use for, Dave?
You know, relatively short time. I mean, it actually started to actually peter out in the 1840s, but I mean, that trail was still there, which later became the Salt Lake Wagon Road, which was partially military to go to Salt Lake all the way. And then it was a wagon route. And then, it evolved in a two-lane dirt road and then paved 6 and 50. So.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want, when you're traveling, especially with this book, if you're traveling with the book, you can go to all these places and realize what was there before. Like the poles that dragged when the Utes acquired the horse.
Mm-hmm.
The poles would drag on the ground, so there would actually be like almost gutters on each side of the trail, and you could see those for many, many years after the where they were dragging teepees, and it was pretty heavy, so you could actually see like a little road with two gullies on each side where the poles dragged.
So you mentioned that you want folks to be able to travel with your book. Will people be able to travel along with your book and go see a lot of the places that you talk about?
Yes, because I'll have quite a few maps in there, so they'll be able to see that. And then I'll have parts of the original Ute Trail. And luckily, in Colorado, there a lot of those trails are still marked, like some of the bigger branches of the Ute Trail. So it's pretty nice for people. Colorado is very conscientious of its history, so there are so many different plaques. In fact, when I was a kid, I made my dad stop at every plaque from here to New York, and he's like, no, go in the back of the station wagon. We're done with you. So Colorado is very conscious of its trail history.
So I know COVID has pushed some things off a little bit in terms of the publication of your book. When's the current expectation on when we should see it on shelves?
It will be out this fall, 2021. So that's the current projection. It's been really hard to do research with all the research libraries closed. And luckily, my friends and other museum directors and archivists have sent me material. But, I'm just lucky that we have the Lloyd Files Research Center, because it's just so much information, just thousands of documents and photographs, just an amazing resource. Anyone doing research, genealogy or history, should go down there, you know, when we're open back up post-COVID, which should be hopefully around the corner. So that, I think it's a great resource for our community.
And where will people be able to buy your book when it does come out? And what's the title again?
It's Early Trails, Trains, and Electric Transports: Adventures in Early Travel in Western Colorado, 1560 to 1903. But the title will change. The editors changed the title like 7 or 8 times. So I know by the time this comes out, it'll have a different name and a snappy title. But that's the working manuscript title. And I work with the museum closely, so we promote it through our gift shop there, like we did last year. So we'll do a lot of like probably a special exhibit. We're talking about that now, and then and have some of the artifacts from the trails, and I'll actually borrow some from other museums. But we want to really run the book through the museum, but then it'll be available on Amazon and all the other outlets too. So, and of course Barnes & Noble.
Cool. Well, Dave, thanks so much for talking to us about all of the different history. And it's such a short period of time to go over such an immense history, but it's really neat to know when we're out there recreating on Grand Mesa, there's such a wealth of history there, and so many different people have used that area to go from one place to another. So thanks for talking to us about it.
Sure.
So we want to, before we go, we want to talk to you about the Christmas train show that's happening out at Cross Orchards this weekend. It's the last weekend that Cross Orchards will be open for the season. And we have our model trains and all of our outdoor exhibits open. It is outdoors this year, but we do have a nice fire going that you can warm up next to and enjoy, even though it'll be kind of chilly. There's tons of fun stuff for your kids to go watch the model trains and the big trains and go explore those too. So come see us at Cross 9-3 on Saturday, December 19th.
You have been listening to Museum Meetup, where we explore the Western Slope's scientific and cultural past. This segment airs on the third Thursday of every month on KAFM's Community Affairs, and you can also listen to podcasts at kafmradio.org. We are Kaya and Libby from the Museums of Western Colorado. Join us next month when we will be talking to Curator of Paleontology from Dinosaur Journey Museum, Dr. Julia McHugh. She'll be talking to us about plant-eating dinosaurs of the Jurassic and how they shared resources. Thank you for listening. See you next month.